You might say that, wow, gospel is short, woohoo. I would say, ah, gospel is short, I am doomed. Why am I saying that? Because this gospel you heard, I need an hour to explain this, not kidding. But no worries, no, I am not going to preach 1 hour. So I wrote the homily, I spent a lot of hours to cut off, so no worries. It's not going to happen more than 80 minutes, I cross my fingers, right? This week, we call the Good Shepherd Sunday. Good Shepherd Sunday. Ah, Good Shepherd. Where do we get that image? Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. Psalm 23. Very good. But I want to challenge you today. I want to bring you to go beyond that image today. So today I'm going to dissect today's gospel a little bit further. It might be a little bit challenging to some of you, but just hang in there. At the end, I will summarize everything for you. So let's, as I mentioned it, in order for us to understand the true image of Good Shepherd, because sometimes we only see the Good Shepherd image on the surface. Now, we don't go further. Let's go deeper today. So today, John's gospel, you didn't hear that today, but there is, there's some, the previous one, from the previous gospel there was an indication that this today's Good Shepherd account was given to the Jewish people on the day of a feast of dedication. When you hear the word that like a feast day of dedication happens and this special day, if especially Gospel of John, you need to pay attention to that detail. And the author of John put it for reason. So let's get to know about the feast of dedication, what that is. Because the feast of dedication, Jesus did something amazing in today's gospel. So, feast of dedication. On this feast day, it's the feast day celebrated by the Jewish people at the time of Jesus. They celebrated and commemorated the rededication of the temple. Again, I am not going to go deeper. In order for us to understand the entire concept of the gospel, the one concept we must get to know well is the temple. How significant the temple was at the time of Jesus. But nonetheless, so long story short, the first Maccabees chapter 4 and the verse 52 to 59, there's a description of rededication of the temple, which was, you know, that desecrated by the king Antiochus Epiphanes. Sorry about my horrible Hebrew pronunciation now. Year 167 before Christ. So what happened was he desecrated the temple, and they regained the temple, and they rededicated 3 years after. So they are celebrating this rededication. Why? Why is the temple so important? Here's the one. When they thought about temple, especially when they saw that the temple was restored or rededicated, this symbolized Jewish point of view, the temple, there are three aspects we must remember now so that we will get to know Jesus' word well. So I'm going to say these three. Again, if you do not follow well, I know you're intellectual people. I know you're smart people. Just hang in there. God's presence, temple. God is with us. Jewish point of view. Where's God? Right there. Temple. God's presence. Second, God's protection. The God who brought us from out of Egypt. God who brought us, our ancestors. Even though we are exiled to the Babylonian exile, all this exile, you know what? God brought us back. Sure, we are under Roman Empire right now, but God is going to bring us back. God's protection. And what it meant to be faithful as God's people. Therefore, we are belonging to God. We will be faithful to God. Protection, I'm sorry, presence, divine presence, protection, and as a people, God's people, we need to be faithful. You got that? God's presence, God's protection, and God's being faithful as God's people. And now, on the feast of dedication, while everybody's thinking about God's presence, God's protection, and God as a people, we need to be faithful to God. They're thinking about it. And Jesus actually brings something amazing. Jesus transformed the feast day of dedication, something amazing. Let's go one by one. In this passage, today's gospel, Jesus revealing himself as the one who perfects the temple and Mosaic law. Just as temple was the place where people believed the divine presence dwell among them, you see that? God's presence. What did Jesus say today's gospel? 10:30. The Father and I are one. Jesus transformed the God's presence to himself. Indeed, he is Son of Man and Son of God. Jesus is the sign of God's presence per excellence. When you hear today's gospel, especially Jewish point of view, this feast day of dedication, oh, God's presence. No, Father and I are one. What? Yes. God's presence has been transferred. And just as the people looked to the law of Moses and the prophets for the instruction in their faith and revelation of God's will, remember the temple, there is what? The essence of a Mosaic law, God's covenant, right? Ten commandments, right there in the temple. The Ark of the Covenant, and they lost it later, but nonetheless, this divine instruction. Now, Jesus' words are given to us as a divine instruction for our lives and decisions. 10:27, this is what he said. My sheep hears my voice, and they follow me. His words became the divine instruction. His transferring the Mosaic law and prophets to himself. Lastly, just as God protected his faithful people, so Jesus offers eternal protection for those who belong to him as his disciples. You heard today's gospel, 20 and 29. What did we hear? They shall never perish. No one can take them out of the Father's hands. Wow. Remember, feast day of dedication. People are expecting God's presence, God's protection, and how can we be faithful to God's people? And they got the instruction from where? Mosaic law and the prophets. Now, in this given text, Jesus is telling the people on the day, feast day of dedication, where everybody's remembering this aspect, has been transferred to Jesus. When the people heard the word of Jesus today, you might say, well, wow, that's amazing, good shepherd. But from Jewish people's point of view, wow. Did you just hear what he said? Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? Yes. Something's different. That's what's happening today. Wow. So now let's apply this. These things, remember God's presence, God's protections, and you know the God's instruction to us, and now Jesus is doing that.
These things, these points have an implication for us just as much as they did for the people of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's easy to seek protection, security in materialism, relationship, ideology, or personal gratification. But Jesus offers his word instead so that we can what? Hear him and allow him to be our protection and strength. Again, going a little bit further, I think we know already know that these images. You know, Good Shepherd, every sheep recognizes his own name, or her own name, and comes when called. Although the several flocks are mingled, they speedily separate at the command of the shepherd. And while the commands of the stranger would have no effect on them. When I went to Holy Land, we were walking around the field, the Galilee field right there. And then actually, tourists actually told me this one. I witnessed it. There's a guy, like a rather young boy. He was saying some strange, like something. And then all of a sudden, this sheep were gathering around him. And simply he just say words, they followed him. Now, just like a flock of the sheep hears their shepherd, we need to hear and recognize the voice of Jesus hidden in our daily life. We need to hear the voice of Jesus. Once voice is heard, what does flock of the sheep do? They move forward. They follow the shepherd in the nature. In the same way, Jesus says that it takes more than just hearing them, hearing him, hearing his instruction to be a disciple. He also says that his sheep follow him. So this teaching means that we must integrate into our lives the faith we believe and profess. It also means that we need to remain attuned to the Lord's voice throughout our day so that our all decisions, thoughts, and actions may be directed by His divine will. We must hear and we must follow. A little bit off track, it's always important to remember this. Gospel of John never uses the word faith as a noun at all. In the Gospel of John, the faith is never been noun. Faith was always birth. That's because John doesn't want our experience of faith to ever become a just static set of intellectual precepts or simply knowledge. Faith, knowledge. No, it's not enough. We have to move forward. Faith does something. It's something that is lived out in our following and not only in our hearing. Let's be honest, our secular culture prefers that we keep faith private and personal, more like an interior feeling or sort of a moral principle rather than a lived conviction. But even something as simple as making the sign of the cross, in a restaurant, can invoke some interesting reaction from people. So, let's summarize everything. So, image of Jesus as a good shepherd who cares for his flock is indeed a very comforting image. Nothing wrong about that. However, if we dwell our thoughts on that surface of this image, this may lead a thought that God exists to make our lives better the way we are rather than calling us to conversion, transformation, and change. When we have such a mistaken understanding of faith, that we pray only for God to take away our difficulties and solve our problems. We need to go further. We need to hear. And we need to follow the Lord with the action of faith. And today's gospel is transferring the authority of perhaps Old Testament to the New One. And in Jesus, we see God's presence, God's protection, and the way to be with God. Therefore, we hear and we follow Jesus. I want to conclude the homily. I think almost 18 minutes now. I would like to conclude the homily with the image of the parable of the lost sheep. Remember that one, a shepherd who sought for one lost sheep while left 99 unattended, right? Remember that God, that the Gospel of Luke, right? Think about this way. How would the 99 sheep feel about this? Man, he abandoned us. Golly. Then what if all the 99 sheep used to be the one who lost but found, but the same shepherd? Therefore, they knew exactly that, but the same shepherd brought one by one. It began with one, two, three, all the way down to 99. What if they knew exactly what the shepherd was doing? Then what would they think at the time? Where's the master? Oh, he's gone. Oh, he's gone? Yes, he went there. I know. Okay. 99 sheep knew exactly what he was doing. He went outside to search for one. Oh, I hope that he's okay. And then guess what? He's bringing the new one. What would the 99 react on that? Welcome. How are you doing? Oh, I remember. Once upon a time, I was like you. Where did you go? Oh, I went there too. And this 101 would understand that. Guess what happened? What if the master left again? What would the 100 sheep would say? I know exactly what he's doing. I bet each one of them rejoice and be glad when master comes back. I bet each sheep will rejoice when they hear the master, I am back. I bet they will be rejoicing and be glad because master brings another sheep. That's exactly what the first reading was all about. That's exactly what the second reading was all about. You are one of those 100 sheep. You are. If you're still wandering around, listen to him and come to him. And you will be one of those sheep. Shepherd is coming to you and me today. Mass. Good Shepherd is coming to you and me. He's going to say to you, and we need to act. Let's hear his voice. Let's follow him.